Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
I remember as a boy seeing an interview on television with a man who had been a prisoner of war in Vietnam. He said, "I was never truly a prisoner. They can put my body in a cage, but they cannot control my mind. They cannot control my heart." This man knew what it meant to truly be a prisoner, to be a slave, to be in bondage to something. Yet he also knew that the greatest bondage of all is when we place our inner self under someone's bondage. Jesus came to this earth for the purpose of releasing man from the bondage of sin. But during his time on earth, he also released others from other bonds. Today we're going to look at one of those examples, and we're so glad that you've decided to join us today for this period of Bible study, and we encourage you to take your Bible and get ready to read along with us. Our text today is going to come from Luke chapter 13, and we have a wonderful account here of Jesus healing a woman. We're going to be able to learn much from this. This is truly one of the greatest stories in all of the Bible. For Jesus came in order to free man, and he freed man from many things. On this particular occasion, he's going to heal a woman who has been possessed by a demon that has her bent from the spine. We are going to be able to learn much from this, Lord willing, over the next couple of weeks, so we encourage you to plan now to be with us next week as well. Jesus did 35 different miracles while he worked this earth that are recorded for us. We know from John chapter 20 and verse 30 that these were recorded that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life in his name. We also know that there were many other things that he did that are not recorded. Last week we grouped all of Jesus' miracles into five different categories, and in doing so we showed that there were five different purposes that Jesus had for performing miracles. Now, it's possible you might be able to come up with a list that grouped them a little differently, but they'll all fall out into just about this way. The first category is those miracles he did that showed his command over natural law. Truly, he is our creator, the creator of the universe, and he showed he had control over what he had created. Also, we saw Jesus performed miracles in order to fulfill the physical needs of some of those around him. Also, we see that Jesus performed miracles to demonstrate his authority over Satan. Also, his power over death. And finally, we see that Jesus performed miracles by healing someone's physical needs, healing their physical sickness, in order to focus their attention on spiritual needs, on their spiritual sickness, that he, as the Master of the universe and our Redeemer, is the only one who could address. The miracle that we discussed today falls into this last category, where Jesus healed one who was physically ill in order to focus attention on spiritual sickness, but not on the spiritual sickness of the one being healed. In this case, it's the spiritual sickness of those who were around him. This lesser-known miracle is part of a continuing story of conflict between Jesus and the Jewish leaders of the day. By his teaching and his miracles, Jesus was gaining the respect and devotion of the people. But the rulers did not respect him, and they were not devoted to him. As darkness hates the light, John chapter 3 and verse 20, so these leaders hated the light of the world, Jesus the Christ. And just as light exposes dark things, Jesus exposed the shortcomings of the religious leaders and showed their hypocritical hearts. He taught that we are not to pray as the hypocrites do, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. He taught that our righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees if we want to go to heaven, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. He pronounced many woes on the scribes and the Pharisees, Matthew chapter 23 and Luke chapters 11 and 12. He taught parables designed to show that they had rejected the Son of God, the very one that they claimed to be following. All of these teachings angered the religious leaders greatly. We find, when we read in Luke chapter 11, toward the very end of that chapter, that they were lying in wait for him, seeking that he might say something that they could catch him in, so that they might bring him to some harm in the courts of their days. Jesus also angered them because he did not accept their interpretation of Moses' law. Now, the leaders of the people had changed Moses' law in many respects. One of those areas is that they had changed the law regarding the Sabbath day. Jesus had great respect for the Sabbath, living under that old covenant law, and he did not accept their interpretation of the Sabbath laws. This is seen many times. He healed the man at the pool of Bethsaida on the Sabbath day, John chapter 5. This made the Jews so angry that they sought to kill him. His disciples plucked corn on the Sabbath to eat it when they became hungry, and the Pharisees accused them of breaking the law, but Jesus said they were guiltless, Matthew chapter 12. On another occasion, Jesus was in a synagogue and found a man who had a withered hand, and he healed that hand, and when he did so, the leaders of the people were filled with rage, Luke chapter 6. To me, one of the most memorable examples of the misuse of the Sabbath by the leaders of that day is seen in John chapter 9. Here Jesus heals a man who has been blind from birth. The conclusion that the leaders came to is, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath, John 9 and verse 16. This then is the relationship of Jesus with the Jewish rulers when our miracle occurs. They wanted to take him, but they feared the people, because the people respected them. Our text is found in Luke chapter 13. This is another Sabbath, and it finds Jesus in the synagogue teaching. Jesus did not hide from the anger of the leaders of the people. Instead, he takes aim at another hypocritical leader, and does so by performing a miracle of healing. Read with me our text, beginning in Luke chapter 13 and verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and he said, Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, There are 6 days on which men ought to work, therefore come and be healed on them, but not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Hypocrite! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. We can see from the record that the Bible gives that it was his custom to go into the synagogue and teach on the Sabbath, Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. He was teaching, and he saw in the assembly a woman who had the spirit of infirmity. Now, if the text did not tell us, we might have concluded that this was a natural illness. But we find here that Jesus shows us what the cause was. In verse 16 he says, Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years? She was given the spirit of infirmity by Satan, just as Jesus in Luke chapter 11 had cast out the demon that Satan gave a man that caused him to be mute. This demon caused this woman to be bent in the spine. Satan was the source, and Jesus freed her from that. This is one example where Jesus again shows his power over Satan. That Satan cannot harm where Jesus cannot heal, and we need to remember that when it comes to our own sins. For Satan does in fact harm, yet Jesus will heal. We must come to him on his terms, just as Jesus called this woman and she had to come to him. But when we do, he will heal us. Jesus loosed this woman, and the term means literally that she was fully free. The healing was immediate and complete. There were no lingering pains. The woman did not need therapy in order to strengthen her muscles. She stood fully upright to see her compassionate healer and became a walking fulfillment of prophetic psalm. In Psalm 146, in verse 8, we read, The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. This woman was, in fact, bowed down physically, and Jesus raised her up. We, if we are sinful and still in the clutches of sin, are bowed over spiritually, but Jesus can straighten us out. Jesus can raise us up, and he can heal us, free us from that bondage of sin, when we come to him in obedience. This woman reacted properly. She was not like the ungrateful lepers of Luke chapter 17. She on this day, when Jesus had performed this miracle, praised God and glorified God. But there was one there who was very angry. The ruler of the synagogue had as his job to control the order of the public worship. And whether he was truly believing that Jesus had violated the Sabbath or was just jealous of the attention that Jesus was getting, he reacted in great anger. He took his turn to attack the Lord for not following the Pharisees' traditions concerning the Sabbath. He was angry with Jesus, but he addressed his rebuke to the people. He reminded them that there were 6 days to be healed. They didn't need to do that on the Sabbath. But Jesus calls him a hypocrite. "Thou hypocrite," the record says in verse 15. This man was willing to leave this place of worship, go to his home, and open the stall to release his animal in order to be watered so that it might not suffer. Yet he did not want this woman to be released of this great infirmity on the Sabbath day. His selfishness and his pride showed in his hypocritical interpretation of the law and his lack of concern for someone in need. Jesus' question to this man shined a bright example on his heart that had been darkened by sin. Yes, he would go home and untie his animal and relieve that suffering, but he did not want this woman to be released. It's interesting that in the original language, the releasing of the animal from the stall and the releasing of this woman from bondage are the exact same words. He should have rejoiced that one who was a child of God had been freed from the power of Satan. He should have desired that this woman be healed then and not have a moment's more affliction. This man needed to learn what it meant to have mercy rather than sacrifice. As we've learned today, God did a wonderful work on this day by healing this woman. Some rejected him, others rejoiced. God has done a wonderful work today in providing for our salvation. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible, according to Romans 10 and 17, creates our faith in God. When our belief in God is strong enough that it causes us to trust him and to obey him, we can then enjoy the salvation that Jesus has authored, according to Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. As acts of obedience, we must repent of our sins, confess the name of Jesus before mankind, and be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. When we do, the Father, by his wonderful grace, will save us. How do you respond to the wonderful work of God? Are you angry and disbelieving, or do you rejoice?